I actually would kind of like to touch on how I got to 92,000 points or miles in a short amount of time, especially as someone who was still very much a beginner, that there are other things out there aside from getting the card. Yes, the card, the sign-up bonus is going to get you probably a good chunk of points, and referrals will get you another 10,000 points. But one thing that I think people maybe don't use as much is the Mileage Plus X app. Signing up for Mileage Plus dining or Mileage Plus shopping, there are some real opportunities there to earn points. And then also keeping your eye open for any special promotions that you may get via email, especially as a card holder. So another perk through the Mileage Plus membership and also through the card is getting a discounted rate on Clear. We actually got a promotion over the summer saying that if we signed up for Clear, something we were already going to do, we would get 15,000 United miles. Actually, it said we were going to get 10 and I ended up getting 15. But basically, what happens is when you sign up for Clear as a United Mileage Plus member, you get a membership rate of 119. If you have a card or you have status with United, you actually get it for $109. We were already going to do that. So that was a winning situation for us to get 15,000 miles that we weren't even thinking that we were going to get.
Hey there, points people. You just heard a clip from Iona Hernandez from Travel Points and Views. Iona is originally from Panama and grew up in South Florida, where she's currently based. She sailed around the world as a student on semester at sea and continues to travel frequently on her own, although it hasn't always been easy. Her 20s were spent struggling to pay for school and figuring out her financial journey. In her 30s, she became obsessed with personal finance, which led her to the world of points and miles. She's visited nearly 30 countries and 24 states, plus Washington, D.C. In this episode, Iona and I discuss how to get free flights on United by leveraging the United Excursionist perk. You can get into some really deep tricks with these routing rules, especially if you live near a smaller airport and always need positioning flights. If you're interested in taking advantage of the United Excursionist perk, check out the United Explorer card, which comes with a variety of different perks, including access to additional award availability that you otherwise wouldn't be able to see on United's website. Remember, if you decide to apply for the United Explorer card or any other card, never apply directly through Google. Always use a friend or creator's referral link. If you're interested in supporting this show when you apply for your next card, check out geobreezetravel.com/cards. And if you're not sure what card is right for you, I offer free credit card consultations at geobreezetravel.com/consultations. We have the links to the United Explorer card and the free consultation form for you in the show notes as well. And now, on with the show. Welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast, a show for anyone wanting to level up their travel hacking lifestyle. I'm your host, Julia Menez. I'm a travel hacker, coach, speaker, Filipino-American ENTJ who loves solid travel gear and using shortcuts on spreadsheets. On this show, I'm on a mission to bring you travel hackers from all walks of life to help you level up your travel hacking game. We dive into credit cards, miles, points, strategy, mindset, and the secrets behind how to travel the world for next to no cost. So let's get hacking. Quick, what's the best way to use points for hotels like Marriott, Hilton, or IHG where the points price is tied to the cash price for a room? Leveraging Marriott and Hilton's fifth night free or IHG's fourth night free options can be a great way to get more out of your hard-earned points, especially at aspirational hotels like the St. Regis Maldives or Conrad Bora Bora. If you're struggling to find availability for 5 nights in a row, that's where Aways can come in handy by showing you a calendar of all the available dates at the same time. Check out Aways and get a free 5-day trial on its premium tiers at geobreezetravel.com/aways. Thank you to Aways for partnering with this episode of the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast. Hey, Iona, welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast.
Hi, Julia. It's so nice to finally meet you.
You as well. I am so excited to chat with you. We're going to talk about United today. We are going to dive into the United Excursionist perk, which I think is one of those favorite tricks that people have once they know how to take advantage of it. And we're going to talk about all sorts of other cool United things. But before we jump into all of that, tell us a little bit about yourself and your background, and how did you get into the game of points and miles?
Sure. My name is Iona. I'm originally from Panama, but I grew up in South Florida. I've always just been obsessed with different cultures and and languages. And naturally, that kind of led me to, finding a way to travel more often. And that's the points and miles game.
Absolutely. When you were first getting started, were you like taking one step at a time, or one of those, oh my God, this is so cool, let's just go from 0 to 60 in 12 seconds kind of person?
I definitely took the long route. So I've known about points and miles for at least, you know, 4 or 5 years. And I knew, you know, signing up to loyalty programs and things like that, especially for flights, that I could earn some points and eventually every so often travel for free. But the one thing that I wasn't willing to commit to and that I couldn't do was sign up for credit cards. And that's because I didn't really have any credit history. I've always been very responsible, but in my 20s, I made a silly mistake. I traveled on a program called Semester at Sea while I was in college, and I got a credit card right before I left. And I was very responsible about paying, but once I left, I was actually unable to sign into my account. And I did try to sign in from, you know, the middle of nowhere, some, you know, computer cafe in Ghana, and I was locked out for 4 months. And 4 months, 25%, you know, interest rate. By the time I got back, it had grown out of control, and I never wanted to touch another credit card again in my life. So I went many years without having a credit card and had to go the long way of being an authorized user. And then my first credit card was actually Chase Freedom Unlimited. I knew I had to hold that for at least a year, or at least I thought, and then kind of jumped into a Chase Sapphire Reserve straight from there a year later. And that was back in 2018. And I didn't get another credit card until 2022. So I took the very long route.
So you're pretty new to the game, but you are ramping up very, very quickly. So before we jump into talking about United, why is United your carrier of choice, or is it your carrier of choice?
That's actually a funny story and a great question, because it is not. Well, first of all, this is like a full circle moment for me, because I knew about Points and Miles since 2018, started listening to your podcast back in 2021. And then after listening to a few episodes, I was like, I have to dive a little bit deeper into this. And once I was, you know, kind of looking at where I had points and miles, I realized that the one carrier that I had the least amount of points with was actually United. But in doing that deep dive into points and miles, realized that there were a lot of opportunities with United, and specifically with using the Excursionist perk.
So have you been able to use the Excursionist perk so far? And if so, where did you use it?
So not quite yet. I learned the ins and outs of the Excursionist perk, and I'm hoping to use it actually for a trip to Africa. I've been dreaming about going back to South Africa since I went there while I was on semester at sea. And so actually the first card I got last year was the United Explorer card through Chase. And I was shocked at how quickly I was able to, you know, rack up enough points to actually make that happen. So I went from having traveled probably for 2 years on United, little trips here and there, and had only racked up about 9,000 United miles. And when I really dove in and got a card and really committed to the miles game, I actually racked up 92,000 miles in less than 6 months. And with that, I had enough to do the trip that I wanted to do. But the only problem is, and something that we don't talk about enough, is that our partners and our friends, you know, it's kind of hard to get them to come along with you and to, you know, believe in the points and miles craziness. So it took me a full year to finally get both my fiance and my best friend to kind of, you know, commit to this. And I think hopefully we will be going to South Africa and going to 2 different places in South Africa and using the Excursionist perk to do that at the end of this year.
How did you finally get your partner and your friends on board? Because that is a very common question where people are like, all right, I'm all on board with points and miles. I'm all for it. How do I get my partner to be a willing player too?
I will say that that is still a work in progress. What's worked for me with my fiance is that he's become a bougie lounge monster. He actually became an authorized user on my Chase Sapphire Reserve. And with the priority pass, with the restaurant credits and things like that, he became more curious about it. And now he wants to go to every lounge, and what lounge can we go to, and what free meal are we getting here? And he realized that there is value in some of those perks. And then just laying things out, he's an accountant, so he's very much a numbers person. And he is the one that always brings me back to reality, because I'm like, you know, doing aspirational, we should spend 80,000 points to fly in Emirates. And he's like, no. Do you know how many JetBlue flights we can take with that many points? Let's not do that. But that's how I roped them in, was the perks. And he signed up for the United Explorer card as well. And I referred him and he's built up his points and he believes now, although he's very cautious.
Yeah. I'll say one other thing that really helps with getting people on board, as far as people have told me, is just the social proof that it works for other people, because so many people, when they hear about this game the first time, they're just like, oh, that's going to destroy our credit. That's going to hurt us financially. And then you're like, no, look at all of these different blogs. Like, they're all explaining it. But then people are like, yeah, but that's like their business and they're like selling cards. So I have found that just finding other people at meetups to be like, nope, totally normal person, not trying to sell you anything, but points and miles are great. And also, if you aren't able to make it to any of the meetups, just listening to the Geo Breeze Travel podcast on like a road trip or something with your partner, because we have a lot of people here who have small channels or no channel and they just want to talk about a cool points trip that they did. So I found that just hearing from a lot of different people from all different walks of life also helps to kind of make it more believable rather than just one person being like, look at all the cool things I can do. It helps hearing that other people can do it too.
For sure. And the thing is that for all of us in the points and miles game and, you know, travel hacking, I feel like we probably all sound a little bit like we're in a cult. Like, join our cult. And they're like, no, this is too good to be true. I know one other issue right now, like trying to convince my one other friend who's planning to go to South Africa with us, is that she doesn't want to have too many cards. And I'm like, but what really is too many cards? And if you use the perks properly and you have a plan for those points and you have a plan for, hey, this card is not a long-term card for me, knowing that you can downgrade it or get rid of it after the first year, and properly explaining that to people, I think helps. But I find that that's usually where people get a little weirded out, like, it's too many. Why do I need that many, you know, cards?
And normally you don't need 20. I think a lot of people on Instagram are like, look at my flex, I have 20 cards, not knowing that that just scares off people. So you don't need 20 cards. If you have like 3 or 4 or 5 good ones, then you're probably good to go. And a lot of them will have different perks too, like the United Explorer one that you mentioned. That gives you extra award space. I don't know if a lot of people know that just by having that card, you have access to award space on United that a lot of other people might not have access to, which comes very much in handy for things like the United Excursionist perk. And United is always one of my first places that I start looking for saver space. If I want to book a flight for myself or for clients, it's one of the easiest interfaces, I think, to just search for miles and points flights, to just say, I want to search with miles, I want a flexible calendar. It will show you a 30-day time frame at the same time where you can just easily see where saver space is available for either economy flights or business class as well.
I totally agree. The other perks of that card, priority boarding has come in clutch with all the craziness this year. I love to travel carry-on only, and it is my life's goal to never get gate checked. So having that priority boarding is awesome. Also, the 2 lounge day passes for United is a nice perk to have. Although I will be completely honest and say that mine are probably going to go to waste this first year that I've had them, because the one opportunity I did have to use them was at Newark. And it seems like they have a permanent sign up saying, sorry, we're not accepting day passes right now, which is super disappointing. I'm going to try to give those away before they expire, but that's something to definitely take into account if you're considering this card, is that yes, it is nice to have those day passes, but usually the United Lounge won't accept them if they're over what they're calling over capacity, which I really think is just that it's their busy time and they're just kind of planning ahead for it, because it did not seem busy at all.
Yeah, Newark was my home airport for about 3 years. And for those 3 years, we didn't really have other lounge access. Like, we had a priority pass lounge, but then it's getting revamped and turned into a Centurion lounge, I think, or some other nicer lounge. So there weren't really other options other than United. So everybody was going into the United Club lounges, which I thought were a little bit trickier to get into. We'll go into how to get into United Club lounges, but they are amazingly full
for how difficult it is to get into those, because they have multiple ones too. There's the B terminal one. There's, I think, C terminal is the one with a large United lounge, like the big new one. And so you can get in with the club passes through the United Explorer card. I always got in because I was able to get Star Alliance Gold through Singapore Airlines. They had that promo once upon a time that if you transferred 250,000 points in, then they would just gift you automatic Singapore Gold status, which got me Star Alliance status. So that got me into all the United Club lounges. My husband also got United Gold status through Bilt because they had that promo where you could basically just get status matched through United for having Bilt. And those are still like difficult to get if you have United status domestically, because they're like, oh, well, we can't let you in today unless you're flying international. And we had a first class flight domestically from Las Vegas to New Orleans. And they were like, oh, we still can't let you in because you only have like this kind of United Gold. Whereas since I had it from an international carrier, they let us in through me having Star Alliance Gold through Singapore Airlines, but not him having Star Alliance Gold through the domestic airline. So it's a whole thing. And even though it's a whole thing, it's still so crowded in those lounges sometimes, especially in hubs.
We actually have a brand new United Lounge here in Fort Lauderdale where I'm based. And I bet it's probably easier to get in there. We just haven't had a chance to do that. So I'm hoping in 2023, when we get our second set of passes, that we'll get to do that.
For sure. So let's talk a little bit about what is the United Excursionist perk and why do people go crazy over it?
So the United Excursionist perk is this beautiful hidden little gem through the United Mileage Plus program that basically allows you to, on a multi-city itinerary, fly one leg of your itinerary for what they call for free. I like to say for 0 miles because it's not really free. You still have to pay taxes and fees. And that's something that you should be aware of when you're booking your flights. So for example, I'll tell you what I'm planning to do for our trip to South Africa. United flies direct from two cities on the East Coast. That's from Washington, D.C. at Dulles, and also from Newark. And what we plan to do is to fly out of one of those two cities, fly to Cape Town, spend a week in Cape Town, and then go on safari. So that means we'd have to fly up to Johannesburg to get to Kruger National Park. So from DC or Newark to Cape Town is one leg. Then Cape Town to Johannesburg is another. And then I would fly back from Johannesburg to DC or Newark. Well, that leg between Cape Town and Johannesburg using the excursionist perk should be free. And that's because the excursionist perk says that if your flight starts in what they call one region could be North America, Europe, Asia, Africa. If it starts in one region and then you take a flight in another region between one place to another, and then from that second region, fly back to the region where you originated from, that in-between region should technically be 0 miles. You could do something way more exotic than just staying within the same country. I think United also flies to Ghana, for example, another great place in Africa to visit. And you could, for example, fly from Cape Town to Ghana before you come back to the US. And that flight from Cape Town, South Africa to Ghana would be 0 miles. I know there's more advanced things that people do with the excursionist perk, but I think that this is the easiest way and the best way to get the most value out of this perk.
So we can jump into the more advanced things in a little bit, but let's recap. Like, if this is the first time you've ever heard of this, where you're just like, what just happened? So what this is intended for is, let's say you're flying New York to France to Greece back to New York. That France to Greece leg is going to be free. You have to follow a few rules. Like, the whole thing has to be booked on united.com using points. And like you mentioned, if the first leg is economy, your second leg is going to be in economy for it to be free. You could do business economy or something like that. But if you did business class on points, you could get a free business class flight with United that way from France to Greece as well. So the rules are, let's say, for this instance, we're assuming everybody's based in North America as their starting region. Leg one has to start in your starting region. Leg two has to start and end not in your starting region, but within a self-contained region. And we'll talk about what the regions are in a little bit, because it's not necessarily just by continent. So leg one starts in your region. Leg two starts and ends not in your region, but within the same region. Leg three ends in your region. So with the example, New York to France to Greece back to New York, it starts in the US. The second leg is France to Greece, which is both not in the US and it's within the same region. It ends back in the US. You can get really tricky with this because if you, for example, found a really good cash fare deal from the US to France and then another good cash fare deal from Greece back to the US, or you found points flights on some other airlines, like, oh, there's a really good Air France deal, but only to go to France. I can't find a way home. Oh, there's like a really good Turkish Airlines flight from Athens back to New York. Oh, but like, I can only find the one way. You can piece these together with the United Excursionist perk. It's tricky, but here's how you can do it. Let's say that you just booked a random United flight from New York to Boston on points. You could, on united.com, say, okay, I need a multi-leg trip. I need New York to Boston and Paris to Athens and then Boston back to New York or something like that. If you did all of that on one itinerary, your Paris to Athens trip is still free because it follows all the rules. Your first leg, New York to Boston, starts in the US. Your second leg, contained within a region, not in the US. And your third one, Boston back to New York, ends in the US. So for that, if you did this in economy, you could probably get those short legs for 5,000 points each on United. So you're spending 10,000 points and you got a free trip all the way across Europe. So this is great for positioning flights. If you're like, okay, well, I'm in Pittsburgh and all the good flights are out of New York, they're going to be on two different airlines anyway. You could just do your positioning flight to New York, do that Paris-Athens thing, do your positioning flight back. If you do it all on one itinerary, you're good to go. If you wanted to get super complicated, you could do two different triangle itineraries and then fly Paris back to Athens, Athens back to Paris, and you could just work two different itineraries on top of each other. I'm going to add a diagram on YouTube to explain this because it's very, very difficult to visualize this if you don't have the visuals. But that way you could get a round trip flight across Europe, potentially in business class, if you wanted to do all this in business class, but you would only pay 10,000 points or so, 20,000 points in economy and get these flights. So that is 0 to 60 in how we do excursionist perks, both for a basic trip where you're just doing New York to Paris to Greece to New York, or one of the deeper hacky hacks where you can just do your positioning flights, find other carriers to get you to Europe, and then you could do through Europe using the excursionist perk if all of this is booked with United points on united.com. We'll dive into the hackier hacks in just a second. But a couple things to note, never call united.com and ask a United agent to do this for you. They will be so confused. Like, never call United asking them to do this. They are going to have no idea what's going on.
Oh God, no. Yeah. I wouldn't even imagine. And I mean, props to you for even somehow explaining that so eloquently, because I wasn't even going to try to go there. But totally agree with you. Imagine, yeah, calling someone and you're drawing out the diagram in your head and they're like, we have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, there are some airlines, like with ANA, when you're doing the round the world trip, like they know about the round the world thing. You can call them on the phone and explain that and they can book it for you. That is not the case with United Excursionist. You should do all of this on united.com. You should call a points friend to walk you through it. There are tons of articles that walk you through it as well and walk you through some of the different hacky hacks, but you should not call United's customer service and try to have them help you with this. They are going to be so confused. One other thing to note about the United Excursionist perk is regions don't just mean continents, because you were talking about like in Africa, Central and South Africa is one region, but North Africa, like Algeria, Morocco, Tunisia, Libya, that's a separate region. So you can't do.
I did not know that.
That's a separate region. So you can't do Washington, D.C. to Morocco to Cape Town back to Washington, D.C., because that middle leg crossed two different regions.
And I believe also it's not just North America. I think they count, is it both of the Americas, or there's something to do with like Mexico and some other regions being part of one and not the other. I know it gets a little bit weird, but that's why you have to go back and read it on the website and see what the little nuances are.
It does get weird. So mainland US, Alaska, and Canada are all one thing. Hawaii is its own thing. So you can't do like position from Las Vegas to Los Angeles, go Los Angeles to Hawaii or something like that. That wouldn't work anyway because you didn't leave the US. But Hawaii is its own specific region, which is annoying, except if you're in Hawaii, like if you're local to Hawaii, this is an excellent thing for you. Because let's say that you live in Maui and you're like, okay, I need a free flight across the US. Like I want to fly from Los Angeles to New York, but it's very expensive. You could just get a couple United flights from like Maui to Honolulu and then back, and then find a different way to get to Los Angeles. You could fly Southwest, you could fly Hawaiian Airlines, some other way to go to Los Angeles. And then you get that free flight from Los Angeles to New York if you're a native to Hawaii. So that could save you hundreds of dollars. And then, I mean, if you wanted to do business class from Maui to Honolulu, that can't be that expensive in points because it's such a short flight. So then you could get a United business class flight cross country for free. So that's one way that you could do that too. Same if you are based in Mexico. Mexico is its own region. So if you were like, okay, I'm flying from Mexico City to Tijuana, drive up the border to go to Los Angeles and then fly to New York and then work it backwards to do the reverse triangle to get back, you could fly across the US for free if you're currently based in Mexico and looking to do something like that too. So there are regions where it's very, very small, and anybody who's based in that region or planning a trip that's starting in that region could really, really hacky hack their way with this. Hawaii is one, Mexico is one, Japan is one. A lot of people are like, oh, I want to do Los Angeles to Japan to Thailand back. You can't do that because Japan is its own region. But if you are based in Japan, you could take a quick flight from Narita to Kyoto or something like that. And then from there, or let's say you're based in Kyoto, you could go Kyoto to Tokyo, find a different JAL flight, ANA flight to anywhere else in Asia, and then get a free flight across another Asian region, and then go back to Japan, and then complete the triangle, and you're good to go.
That's amazing. All of those things. I just learned so much. I mean, even just the plain and simple, like very vanilla excursionist perk, you know, is exciting. But when you start getting into the hacky hacks, oh man, the possibilities are endless.
You do have to take that first flight. So if you're like, oh, do I even have to do the positioning flight from like Kyoto to Narita in that example? You do have to do the first one, or else the big free one, you've forfeited that if you don't take your first one. But the third one's completely optional. But I mean, it's a free flight if it's your positioning flight anyway. So you could do that. The easiest region, I think, to think about is Europe, because it's all one thing. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like we mentioned, the Americas are broken up into some regions because you have mainland US, Alaska, and Canada is one thing. Hawaii is its own thing. Mexico is its own thing. Caribbean is one region. Central America is separate. If you wanted to do Belize, Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, Nicaragua, Panama, that's one region. South America is split into two regions. You have Northern South America, which is Colombia, Ecuador, French Guiana, Peru, Suriname, Venezuela. And then you have everything below that is Southern South America with Argentina, Bolivia, Brazil, Chile, Paraguay, Uruguay. So if you're trying to do, let's say you're based in Texas, you can't do Texas to Peru to Argentina back to Texas. That middle leg is not free, but you could do Texas to Peru to Ecuador back to Texas. Mm-hmm. That's going to be free. So you have to pay attention to the United regions and how they're mapped in order to get your free flight.
It's tricky, but it's definitely worth figuring out.
Absolutely. Europe is easy. Middle East is what you would expect to be in the Middle East. Azerbaijan, Bahrain, Egypt, Iran, Iraq, Israel, Jordan, Kuwait, Lebanon, Oman, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Syria, UAE, Yemen, for anybody who's listening to this on the podcast and not on the YouTube, I don't have these memorized. I am reading off of the internet right now. And then Northern Africa is going to be Algeria, Canary Islands, Libya, Morocco, Tunisia. Central and South Africa is going to be the rest of Africa. I'm not going to read all these countries because there's a ton. That is a really, really good sweet spot to use this excursionist perk. Because if you did the two little positioning flights in the US and then found a different way to get to Cape Town, you can fly from Cape Town to the Seychelles for free by using this perk. And that is an expensive flight. Getting to the Seychelles from anywhere is usually expensive, but that is a long flight that you could do in business class by just doing the quick positioning flights in like business class from New York to Boston or from Newark to Chicago, Chicago to Kansas City. You can find any quick United flight and then just find a different way to get to Africa, and then you can fly across the continent for free in business class.
Amazing.
North Asia is its own thing with China, Mongolia, South Korea, Taiwan. I would imagine North Korea would be in that region, except I don't think United or anybody else flies there. Central Asia is Afghanistan, India, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Maldives, Nepal, Pakistan, Sri Lanka, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan. And then South Asia is its own thing with Bangladesh, Bhutan, Brunei, Cambodia, Hong Kong. Hong Kong is separate from China on the map. Indonesia, Laos, Macau, Malaysia, Myanmar, Philippines, Singapore, Thailand, Vietnam. All of that is South Asia. And Japan is just its own thing, like we mentioned. And then Australia, New Zealand is its own thing, and the rest of Oceania is its own region. And so those are the different United regions. Sometimes they do change the region, so you want to make sure that you are paying attention to them before you try to do too much with the United Excursionist perk. But generally, these are pretty easy to book because it's just the regular availability mm-hmm. on United, where it's very easy to find Saver availability based off of their flexible 30-day calendar. I'm sure this will probably segue into another episode, but if I'm looking for flights on a different Star Alliance partner, I'll still start with United. I will, however, here's a trick, not log in, because if you log in, it shows you all that extra availability that's only available if you're a cardholder with United, which I am. If you don't log in, it'll show you saver space that's available with other airlines. So I have found Air Canada flights that are cheaper on Air Canada, but it would have taken forever because with Air Canada, you have to search one day at a time. So I would find the saver space on United first. I found like a Singapore Airlines flight. And then I was like, oh, I wonder how much Air Canada charges for this. But then I knew the exact flight number and date and time to look for, and it was cheaper on Air Canada. You can also do this for if you're trying to find Turkish Miles and Smiles routes, search on United first to find the saver availability and then call Turkish, because Turkish's website is nonsense and you're never going to find it there. If you're trying to do this with Avianca Life Miles, they have filters that are supposed to be smart search, but it's not smart at all. It's actually really dumb. So if you're like, oh, I know that you have this like lot Polish availability, but it's not finding it on Star Alliance, find it on United first. Figure out the dates and then put the more specific filters on Avianca, and then you'll find it for cheaper. So if you wanted to go deep into hacky hacks with Avianca Life Miles, Turkish Miles and Smiles, sometimes ANA, a lot of the Star Alliance partners, I would always use United as the starting point with trying to find saver space that way.
I definitely like the tip about not logging in. It's funny because I've accidentally been doing that. And I always double check on Air Canada as well.
Well, any other fun United tricks that you like to do? I know that we talked about excursionists a lot mostly, and then also lounge access. Anything else?
Yeah, actually. So I actually would kind of like to touch on how I got to 92,000 points or miles in a short amount of time, especially as someone who was still very much a beginner, that there are other things out there aside from getting the card. Yes, the card, the sign up bonus is going to get you probably a good chunk of points, and referrals will get you another 10,000 points. But one thing that I think people maybe don't use as much is the Mileage Plus X app, signing up for Mileage Plus Dining or Mileage Plus Shopping. there are some real opportunities there to earn points. And then also keeping your eye open for any special promotions that you may get via email, especially as a cardholder. So another perk through the Mileage Plus membership and also through the card is getting a discounted rate on Clear. We actually got a promotion over the summer saying that if we signed up for Clear, something we were already going to do, we would get 15,000 United miles. Actually, it said we were going to get 10 and I ended up getting 15. But basically what happens is when you sign up for Clear as a United Mileage Plus member, you get a membership rate of 119. If you have a card or you have status with United, you actually get it for $109. We were already going to do that. So that was a winning situation for us to get 15,000 miles that we weren't even thinking that we were going to get. So yeah, there's a lot of ways to just make extra points and miles through United, just through promotions and through signing up for the app. I got 3,000 Mileage Plus miles just for signing up for their dining program and making my first purchase. You do have to read the fine print. I think there's a minimum of, I think it's like $26 or something like that in order for you to qualify for that. But yeah, we made a lot of extra points here and there just for signing up for an app and for paying attention to the promotions that came in. And the points just piled in. And yeah, 92,000 points in 6 months. It's not too shabby.
Yeah, not at all. That is amazing. And these promos are how people generally will earn a lot of points without having to open 20 cards like we were talking about at the beginning, where people are like, how do you get so many Amex points? Well, I don't have that many Amex cards. Like, there's the bank bonus where they were giving out 60,000 points that I think is expired now. Or there was 20,000 points just for turning on pay over time. I didn't even pay over time. I just clicked the button, got 20,000 points for doing literally nothing. There were 20,000 points every time you added an employee to the business card once upon a time. I think all of these have ended, but they come up pretty regularly. So there are lots of ways to earn points and miles without having to open card after card after card, which I don't know if I'm supposed to say that because that's how we all make money in this industry. There are a lot more ways to get points than just opening up tons of cards.
For sure. And even in the app, sometimes you get random offers. Funny enough, I was just checking my United account today and I was like, how did I get to that number? I haven't phoned them. I got a random 500 miles just for, I don't know, I must have clicked something somewhere and didn't even do what I was supposed to do. And somehow miles just magically appeared in my account. So, and I'm not going to say no to that. So,
yeah, that's awesome. And I really like how United is pretty lenient with their, like, United Travel Bank policy and cancellations and changes of itinerary these days too. So if you have incidental credits on like an Amex Platinum or a Capital One Venture X or something like that, there's hacky hacks for that too, to just get it into your United Travel Bank, like with Capital One Venture X. If you just buy a $300 United flight through the Capital One portal, you'll get that credited back to your card, but then you can just cancel that flight and then the credit goes into your United Travel Bank. So you could do that. It works with the Amex cards too. I usually book flights that are about $99 and then just cancel them. And then I have $99 credits sitting in my account. So lots of different ways to do like some of these more advanced things with United's program.
Is the $99 because there's a limit to what will clear as an incidental?
Yeah, some people say that they're okay getting away with like $199. I always do $99 and I do two different transactions just so that it'll go the way that I want it to go. But I've heard that with some airlines, sometimes you're okay to go up to $200.
My player too is our Amex expert in the house, and I finally convinced him to get the Platinum. So we're working with all of that and getting all of the credits before they expire and all those type of things. And he actually had Delta, so unrelated to United, he had Delta as his preferred airline. And he somehow got an upgrade to Clear. I know that's very black and white, like, or I guess he upgraded to Comfort Plus seat and we were told that was not going to work. And he still did it, and somehow it cleared. I don't know how that happened, but good for him.
Yeah. Sometimes the travel gods just kind of smile upon, like, upgrades clearing.
please keep smiling upon him so that he commits to being my player too. I really need him.
That's awesome. So with everything that you've learned about United and just points and miles in general, what would you say is your number one piece of advice for listeners today?
I think my number one piece of advice is to just get started. I know that it can seem very scary and overwhelming, and like the rest of us are in a cult or we're just light years ahead of everyone else. But that's not really the case. Part of points and miles is part of personal finance, and everyone does everything differently. So if you're not comfortable getting, you know, 10 cards in the first 2 years or anything, you don't have to. I mean, we talked about so many other ways to earn points and miles. Sure, a credit card sign-up bonus is definitely going to be the easy way to get a ton of points. But if you're not comfortable and you want to take it easy, you can go ahead and do that. So just get started. I promise that you will not regret starting. You will probably regret not doing it sooner.
Absolutely. And if you are just getting started and you listen to this episode and you're like, what just happened? Where you're like, triangles, points hacking, trigonometry, I will do a walkthrough on screen share of how to book a United excursionist flight, and I will attach it after this video.
Yeah, you definitely got to send me that link, because some of it I'm like drawing the diagrams in my head. I'm like, I think I got that. I'm not really sure.
So awesome advice. Speaking of fantastic advice, could you give a shout out to some other points and miles people on the internet who you would recommend that listeners check out for more awesome points and miles tips?
Sure. So I think some of the people I originally had in mind have already been on the show or are soon to be on the show. That was Kelly at the Points and Miles Doc and Jeannie at the Grady Bunch. But some other people I would recommend is Katie at the Money Misfit. She does a really great job of not just talking about points and miles, but also about personal finance. Like I said before, it's a huge part of this. I think it's really important. So she does a really great job with that, especially if you're a beginner. I think it's important to have good personal finance, a good foundation. The other one would be Nicole at Nicole's Travel Tips. She's really awesome with buying groups, something that I have not felt comfortable doing just yet. But if you want some creative ideas on how to meet sign-up bonuses and also just great destination content, she's great as well. And then another account to check out, she's a newbie to the Points and Miles content creator world, but has some great tips, is my friend Sandy at Sandy's Point of View. And she has definitely become the definition of the student becoming the teacher. She's believed in my crazy cult of points and miles from day one, and now she's teaching me things. She did a deep dive into buying groups and a lot of things that I haven't done yet. So I highly recommend checking her account out as well.
Perfect. And where can we find you on the internet?
At Travel Points and Views on Instagram. And I'm working on a website. Hopefully it'll be up by the time this airs.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much again for coming onto the show and talking about some cool United perks that I think not enough people know about. And it's one of those that's really accessible for beginners as well, because if you want to do two stops in Europe, like you want to fly from the US to Spain and then from Spain to Italy and then back to the US, you get that middle leg for free. So it's very accessible to beginners. It doesn't have to be like some luxurious five-star first class thing. As soon as you figure out how to do the itineraries, I promise it's life-changing, because then you get to take free flights all over the place.
Totally agree. And I think that was the main thing that I wanted to get across today. I'm definitely no expert, but I figured that out pretty early on. And I know that you guys can too. And I actually have two videos up, I think, on my Instagram account of how to do this very beginner level. And yeah, it's open to everybody. So take advantage of it.
Perfect. Well, thank you again so much for coming on to the show.
Thanks, Julia.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast. If any of the cards mentioned in today's episode piqued your interest, please check out the links in the show notes for more information on any of the cards. Also, if you apply for a card using the links on that page, I may receive a commission too, so please and thank you. P.S. I hear the links work better in Internet Explorer or Safari, and sometimes the credit card applications tend to glitch out in Chrome.
Additionally, it would mean the world to me if you could subscribe to this podcast, leave a 5-star review, and share it with a friend. And if you would like to make even more travel hacking friends, please sign up for the Patreon to access our monthly masterclass hangouts. We dive deep into a particular points program each month, and you'll get to ask all of your travel hacking questions and enjoy being around other people who enjoy points and miles just as much as you and I do. If you would like an invite to the next one, head over to geobreezetravel.com/hangouts to sign up to be on the invite list. Take care and happy travels!